Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
name. Come on, can we do that right now? Just welcome him, come on.
Oh, we worship you,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, we do, Lord.
We magnify your name.
Come on, welcome him tonight. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, we want to thank God for waking us up this morning and taking us through this week. So many of us have encountered problems. We've encountered grief. We've encountered so many things. But when we woke up this morning, we had in our minds that we were going to go ahead and join fellowship because we have faith. And that's what this is all about. Again, we want to thank you so much for joining us. And my name is Farrell Mack, and I'll be your presider today. And our opening prayer is going to be by Deaconess Celeste Mack, then followed by devotional reading. It'll be 2 John 1, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, by our own Deacon Gwen. And then we'll have our pastoral observation by our own Pastor Black. So thank you again. I'm now turning this over to Deaconess Celeste Mack.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for waking us up closed in our right mind, God. We thank you for the portion of our health, God. Father God, we thank you for this day that we're able to come out and fellowship and be on the phone and worship with the saints today, God. Father God, we just thank you for our pastor, God, that's going to bring the word and that is talking about law and justice. Father God, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, God. Father God, we look to the hills from whence cometh our help, because all our help comes from you, God. Father God, we love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory, God. Father God, we ask you to bless our mothers of our church, God. We ask you to bless our deaconesses, Lord. Father God, bless our deacons, God. Father God, we lift up Sister Tanya and Sister Robinson, God. Father God, we ask you to heal because we know you are our healer, God. You are our provider, God, protector, God. Father God, I ask you to bless each and every household that's on this line today, God. Father God, we ask you to lift up Pastor Sherrill, God. Father God, we ask you to lift up Elder Kathy Mendel, God. Father God, we ask you to lift up Elder Farmer, God. Father God, we just bless you at all times, and we bless you. We bless you at all times, and your praises shall continue to be in our mouth. Father God, going to the hospitals, the convalescent homes, God, the homeless, God. We need you, God. We ask you to bless our nation, Lord. Father God, we ask you to bless our leaders today, God. Father God, we looking to you, God. You are our only hope, God. You are faithful. You are righteous, God. You are our healer, Lord. Father God, thank you for protecting us today, God. Father God, we ask you to lead us in the path of righteousness, God. Father God, we ask you to teach us to love one another, God. Father God, we ask you for your joy and your peace, God. Father God, we just lift you up today. We want to lift you up high, God, because glory belongs to you, Lord. I say hallelujah to you, God. It belongs to you, Lord. Thank you today, God. Thank you for our children, Lord. Bless the schools, Lord. Bless the White House, God. Father God, we ask you to bless the poor house, God. Father God, we ask you all these blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Father God, we give you all the glory today. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Chapter John, I mean, it's the 2 John chapter 1, verses 2-6. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible tells us to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. We thank God for that fervent prayer from Deaconess Celeste Mack, and we thank God for the scripture reading by our own Deacon Ray Gwynn. And we thank God for Brother Farrell Mack for being our presider today. And we truly greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the official staff of this great church. We come today to honor and commemorate the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. If Dr. King was here today, he would be 93 years old. And we find ourselves 54 years later, echoing the same prayers and supplications that Dr. King prayed when he prayed for the respect of dignity and worth of every human being for one common band of humanity. So just for a few moments for my pastoral observation, I would like to you all to join me as we are in the presence of the Lord. Pray with me in agreement, the prayer, the words, and with the same passion that Dr. King prayed when he prayed.
Let us pray. Our God, we thank you for the fact that you have inspired men and women in all nations, in all cultures. We call you different names. We call you Allah. Some call you Elohim. Some call you Jehovah. Some call you Brahma. Some call you Unmoved Mover. But we know that these are all names for one and the same God. Grant that we would follow you and become so committed to your way and your kingdom that we will be able to establish in our lives and in this world a brother and sisterhood that will be able to establish here a kingdom of understanding, where men and women will live together as brothers and sisters and respect the dignity and worth of every human being. We thank you for your church founded upon your word that challenges us to do more than sing and pray, but go out and work as though the very answer to our prayers depend on us and not upon us. Help us to realize that humanity was created to shine like the stars and live on through all eternity. Keep us, we pray, in perfect peace. Help us to walk together, pray together, sing together, live together until that day when all God's children, black, white, red, brown, and yellow, will rejoice in one common band of unity. In the reign of our Lord and of our God, in the spirit, in the name and spirit of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.
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 Amen. Those are my pastoral observations for today as we reflect on the life, the dream, and the legacy of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I do have a few announcements, and I want to let you know about that today at 2 o'clock at Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church and on Facebook. You can be a worshiper at their 17th annual Drum Major Celebration. I will be there this afternoon, and so I solicit your prayers. I stand before God's people to do the opening prayer this afternoon. Amen. That's at 2 o'clock on Facebook. And if by chance you're out and about and you want to be out, you need to get there early because they're only allowing 100 people in the building. Also at Vancouver Avenue on Monday, between 11 and 6 o'clock p.m., they have a partnership with Legacy Hospital. They will be providing a vaccine booster clinic. That's Monday at Vancouver Avenue, First Baptist Church, 3138 North Vancouver Avenue, right here in Portland, Oregon. So if you have not got your booster and you need to get a booster, you can go to Vancouver Avenue. Legacy Hospital will be there between 11 and 6. If you know someone that hasn't got the vaccine and now they have changed their mind, please share this information with them. Amen. I'm asking that we as a church family would pray for the Bethel AME church family. Their pastor, Pastor Terry McCray-Hill, passed away on yesterday. And so we're asking God to comfort her immediate family and to comfort the Bethel AME family. We know that our very own Mother Gloria McClendon has family and friends there, and we have family and friends there as well. And so we're praying for that church family, asking that God would comfort them, asking that God would keep them in the spirit of unity as they go through this celebration and this grieving process. Also ask that you pray for the Pauline Memorial AME Zion Church in Salem, Oregon. They also lost their pastor, Pastor Levi Harris. He passed away on December 10th. And so we're asking the church family to continue to lift the Pauline Memorial AME Zion Church up in family up in prayer. And we're also praying for the family of Bishop Walter Scott. You know that last year during the pandemic, First Lady Doris Scott passed away, and the family was unable to come together and do a proper homegoing celebration for Mother. And yesterday they celebrated Bishop and First Lady Scott at Bishop Scott's homegoing celebration yesterday afternoon at the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. So we want to continue to pray. Brother Farrell said it. We've been experiencing grief and we've been experiencing trouble, trials and tribulation on every hand. But the good thing about it, my brothers and sisters, is Zephaniah 3 reminds us that God is in the midst of us. And so whatever it is you're going through today, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to look to the hills from which cometh your help. For all of your help comes from God. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He knows the thoughts and plans that he thinks towards you, thoughts that are good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end. So I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You might not can see the big picture. You might not can understand it all. But rest assured, my sister, my brother, that if it concerns you, it concerns our Heavenly Father. Also want to remind you that we are on the Daniel fast. And the purpose for this fast is to help us draw closer to God, to help us be obedient to him, to help us know when to speak, when to be quiet, when to run with patience. It's to help us get more salt and get more light, get more grace, and get more of his mercy that we may share with others. We are fasting every day, and we are praying every night at 7 o'clock p.m. You can join us. You can join us at 7 o'clock, or you can join Elder Manyweather at noon. You have to pray when you're fasting, and you also have to read and study the Word when you're fasting. So join us for Wednesday night for Bible study. We're in 1 John. Amen. We're in 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 20. You say, well, Pastor Black, I didn't start when you all started Monday. But can I tell you, it's not too late. You can start today. You can start tomorrow. Because you desire a closer walk with God. Amen. Any visitors, do we have anybody worshiping with us for the first time? Maybe you've been on the line before and you just didn't have the opportunity, or you just didn't feel like saying hello, good morning. I'd like to extend that opportunity to you today. If you're on the line today and you would like to say good morning, please press 1 on your phone and we can bring you on live that you may bring greetings to our church family from your family. If there is one today, press 1 on your phone that we may bring you on live. We want to continue to pray for the families that are in Boulder, Colorado, and New York, and Philadelphia. Those families that are in Fort Worth, Texas. You know, yesterday there was a hostage negotiation going on in one of the synagogues. And so we want to continue to pray. We want to continue to seek God's face. We want to continue to pray that justice is done in the United States of America. Let's make ready now for praise and worship. I am so excited. I am so excited. I'm going to yield this call over to Sister Kamisha Black Jointer, who is going to give us our exhortation of worship. And I want to invite you. You are at home, you are in your own home, or you're in your car, or you're in your cubicle, or you're at your place of employment, and people there know you already. And if they've never seen this side of you, let them see you praise, worship, and magnify your Lord, your God. Pray along with her today. If she say clap your hands, just clap your hands. If she say shout unto God with a voice of triumph, don't be scared. Don't be nervous, because you are in your space. And I want you to welcome the Lord in your space, your home, your area, wherever you are today. welcome him there. And as the songs come forth, let them penetrate your heart and your mind. Get up, move around, clap your hands, dance if you wanna. Give God what's due unto him, because we owe him another praise. Sister Kalisha.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, God, how we love you, oh, God. How we magnify you, oh, God. How we lift you up, oh, God. We love you, oh, God. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, oh, God. We come with the praise deep down in our bellies, oh, God. We love you, oh, God. We thank you, oh, God, for this morning, oh, God. We thank you for the month of January, oh, God. We thank you for allowing us to see the 16th day of January in 2022, oh, God. We thank you, oh, God. We magnify you, oh, God. We bless you, oh, God. We thank you now, God, for the activities of our limbs, oh, God. We thank you for keeping us in our right minds, oh, God. We open up our mouths and we say, thank you, Jesus, oh, God, for another day. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, God, for allowing us to come together, oh, God, to worship you and bow down before you, oh, God. We thank you, oh, God. We lift up our hands now, God, in expectation of what you have for us, oh, God, because we know, oh, God, that you have unimaginable things ready for us, oh, God. So now, God, for our praise and worship, oh, God, we praise you, oh, God. Because of who you are, oh, God, we magnify you, oh, God. We lift you up, oh, God. We exalt you, oh, God. We clap our hands now, God. Slapping the devil in his, oh, God. But we praise you, oh, God. Thank you, God, for this time, oh, God. Thank you for every song that's going to come forth, that's going to minister to us, oh, God, that's going to allow us to praise you, oh, God, allow us to worship you, oh, God, allow your presence to fill us up, oh, God, allow the songs to break up the hard dirt, oh, God, and prepare our hearts to receive a word, oh, God, just for us, oh, God. Oh, God, how we love you, oh, God, how we magnify you, oh, God. We exalt you, oh, God. We love you today, oh, God. So now, God, we prepare our hands to get ready to clap to the songs, oh, God. We stand up, oh, God, and we stretch our bodies, oh, God, and we get ready to dance, oh, God, because we want to dance like David danced, oh, God. We want to dance out of our clothes, oh, God, to magnify you, oh, God, to give you all the praise and glory, oh, God, because you've done it for us again, oh, God, and we know that you can do it again, oh, God. So we love you, oh, God. We praise you, oh, God. We magnify you for your blessedness, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus, oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, how we just can't wait to praise you, oh, God. How we can't wait to worship you some more, oh, God. Worship you some more, oh, God, on one accord, oh, God, with each other, oh, God. Singing the same songs, oh, God. Moving our body to the same beat and tempo, oh, God. We come together to do it together, oh, God, to give you the glory, oh, God, to give you the honor, oh, God, to praise you, oh, God, to love on you, oh, God, to get your attention, oh, God. We will praise and worship you, oh, God, with our whole hearts, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, oh, God, we love you today, oh, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this worship experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glory.
He's able. Tell somebody else he's able. Y'all ready? Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for, can according to the power that worketh in you.
Just what he said.
He would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
Every promise.
Every promise.
Yeah.
To you.
Don't give up on
God. Glory, hallelujah. It's you, our God. Come on, say every praise. Say every praise. It's you, our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up, every praise. It's you, our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's you, our God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, I give you glory. He's able and every praise. Yes, saints. Yes, every praise belongs to our God. And he is able to do just what he said he would do. I hope and pray that you've been blessed by our praise and worship. It is word time. Hallelujah. It is word time. And I hope that you have your Bible. I hope that you have your Sunday school book. I hope you brought your listening ears today. I hope you brought those ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us through this lesson on today. Our lesson is entitled The Laws of Justice and Mercy, coming from Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. For those of you that have your Sunday school book, you can find the lesson starting on page 214. For those of you that don't have a book, we are reading from Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. We know that Exodus is the book, one of the five books of the Torah, written by Moses, written to the children of Israel, written to help God's people know how to live in the society. Even though it was written a long, long time ago, what it says in the book is good for today. What we are reading today, we need to apply it to our lives today. And I know that many of us, when it comes to talking about the law, some of us have good knowledge. Some of us have firsthand experience. And then some of us are just oblivious to the law and the making of the law and all of that. But one thing for sure, God is a God of order, and he does all things decently and in order. And when he formed the world, he did not leave out the justice system. He didn't need it at the time, but he knows, hallelujah, he knows the future before we know the future. And so he set it up. He set it up so that we could govern ourselves according to his word. And so just for a few moments, I want to, I'm not going to deep dive into this because it is a lot, but I'm going to read today at a fifth grade level, Exodus 23. And if you know the Message Bible, is written at a fifth grade level. You say, well, Pastor Black, why are you doing that? I'm doing that so that we could all get a good understanding of what the word is saying to us today. I'm reading it so that when we leave from this line, we will be able to help hold others accountable. And then we will also have a desire to show an interest to learning more about the law. And how to do things with justice, how to ensure equality and fairness, goodness, righteousness, virtual honor, and integrity is restored, not only in, I heard Deaconess Celeste say, the poor house, but in my house, yeah. In your house, in the governor's house, in the White House, in the courthouse. We are not there, but when it comes time to vote, that's when we have a voice. That's when we have a say. When it comes time to sign petitions, that's when we have voices. That's when we have the ability to make things happen. As I'm speaking about this, I'm asking that we pray for Dr. Mark Knutson, who is pushing the way. Forging the way to deal with the gun violence. He has a petition going out that's requiring everyone that's interested in purchasing a gun that they do an extensive background check. He's also trying to get a law passed that says how many magazines, and that's gun things that hold the gun, the bullets, can be out on the street. So these are laws that people are working on to help us to live right. I know in Georgia today, the children of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. are fighting that laws don't be changed for voters' rights. We got so much to pray about, say. Yes, yes. We have so much to pray about, and we want justice to be done. But then we also want compassion and forbearance to be shown to all. That's what mercy is. Mercy is compassion and forbearance. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come boldly before your throne of grace to share your word with this awaiting congregation. I pray, Father God, that the Spirit of the living God would give us a spirit to hear what the word is saying to us today, and that we, oh God, will not only hear, but do what your word has commissioned and commanded us to do. I thank you, Father God, for your word is life building. Your word gives us direction. Your word gives us correction. Your word, Father, motivates us, and it propels us. It challenges us. And God, your word disciplines us, and it rebukes us. And so, God, we thank you for helping us get back in order. We thank you, Father God, for helping us learn how to do justly and to do merciful and to walk humbly before you. What is what you require of us? God, thank you for showing us the way. Now, God, as we look to this lesson today, I ask that you would give us an understanding that we would not read or hear Exodus 23 like we did last week, last year, or last month, or last night, but that we would hear it and see it and with fresh eyes, with fresh hearing, with a fresh understanding. So God, I ask that your Holy Spirit now would rest upon us as we dive into this lesson. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God and amen. Reading Exodus 23, verses 1 through 12, and I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible today. It says, don't pass on malicious gossip. Don't link up with a wicked person and give corrupt testimony. Don't go along with the crowd in doing evil. And don't fudge your testimony in a case just to please the crowd. And just because someone is poor, don't show favoritism in a dispute. Verses 4 and 5 says, if you find your enemy's ox or donkey loose, take it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you lying helpless under its load, don't walk off and leave it. Help it. Verse 6 says, when there is a dispute concerning your poor, don't tamper with the justice due them. Verse 7 says, stay clear of false accusations. Don't contribute to the death of innocent and good people. I don't let the wicked off the hook. Verse 8 says, don't take bribes. Bribes blind perfectly good eyes and twist the speech of good people. Verse 9 says, don't take advantage of a stranger. You know what it's like to be a stranger. You were strangers in Egypt. Verse 10 and 11, sow your land for 6 years and gather in its crops. But in the seventh year, leave it alone and give it a rest so that your poor may eat from it. What they leave, let the wildlife have. Do the same with your vineyards and olive groves. Verse 12, work for 6 days and rest the seventh so your ox and donkey may rest and your servants and migrant workers may have time to get their needed rest. I'm going to read verse 13 in conclusion. It says, listen carefully to everything I tell you. Don't pay attention to other gods. Don't so much as mention their names. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and the doers of his holy word. Amen. As we look at this passage of scripture, the covenant code of Exodus 20 through chapter 23, also known as the Book of Covenant, follows and expands on the dialogue that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. This was not a one-way relationship, because Israel had readily agreed to obey God's laws.
It was their voluntary agreement to follow and obey that God caused Israel to suffer God's judgment when they disobeyed the covenant law. My brothers and sisters, I want us to know today that the law that was given to the children of Israel has also been given to us. Just like we have inherited some spiritual wickedness, we have also inherited this covenant agreement. And like the children of Israel, we must agree to this agreement. We must, with our whole heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, live in a voluntary obedience unto God. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice.
That's right.
I just want to quickly look at this passage of scripture, and then I want to just show us some life applicable points here. The covenant code of Exodus immediately follows a conversation between Moses and God. You remember Moses went up to Mount Sinai. That's where he saw the burning bush. That's where he was given the Ten Commandments on the tablet of stone. And that's when he came back and he found his assistant pastor, Aaron, and his praise and worship leader, Miriam, and all of the children of Israel. They had built a golden calf, and that's where they were dancing and worshiping and praising this golden calf, because they felt like God had brought us here and he left us, he abandoned us, and now here you are, our leader. You are went somewhere and we don't know where you are. We don't know what you're doing, and we need some help. And so Moses got mad and he threw down the Ten Commandments, broke them. But can I tell you something? What God has for you, it is for you. I don't care what you do. If God say you supposed to go to the Caribbean to do missionary work, and you get up and you go to Seattle because you don't know nobody in the Caribbean, you afraid to go travel cross country and out of the country, and you go to Seattle and you think you're going to preach and teach in Seattle, and God shuts you down because that's not what the assignment is. TikTok said you not got to know the assignment. TikTok said you got to know the assignment. You got to know the assignment, my brothers and sisters. And so God, he gave the commandments again to Moses, and he ensured them that my people must follow what I say. Earlier, we find that this portion of the code, the Ten Commandments, help us to address our behavior toward others. I wish I could say it. I'm gonna say it anyway. Say it. The Ten Commandments helps me to address my behavior to others. Y'all say it. The Ten Commandments help me to address my behavior toward others. It helps us, my brothers and sisters, to exercise justice and mercy. Well, Pastor Black, what is justice? What is mercy? Well, justice is equality, fairness, and right, things that are right. When you look in the Bible, the definition of justice is goodness, righteousness, virtue, honor, and integrity. And so it helps us walk in goodness. It helps us to, live, behave, act, talk, think. That's behavior. Come on. It helps us to think, walk, talk, act with goodness, with righteousness, with virtue, with honor and integrity towards others. It also, we find that this covenant code helps us to have love and compassion toward those who are widows, orphans, strangers. The portion that we're getting ready to, that we just read, that we're getting ready to look at, brings our attention to justice. Looking at justice. What did I see in verse 1? Well, to keep it plain, to keep it real, like Pastor Al Sharpton would say, keeping it real, Christians are called to speak the truth in love. That's what I see in verse 1. We are to speak the truth in love. I don't know why we are so comfortable with lying. When the Bible is clear that there are a few things that God hates.
All right.
And a liar is one of them. The Bible says liars will not tarry in his sight. I'm just trying to help somebody today. Pastor Black, what is lying? Lying is stretching the truth. Lying is a minor outright fabrication. A lie is sometimes a joke. We got to be careful how we tell jokes and what kind of jokes we tell. I'm just trying to help us mature and grow in the faith. We want to be careful. That's what I see in verse 1. I told you I'm going to be real applicable. Y'all go back and read this. For my history people that really want to get down and read, y'all go back and read it. Right now, I'm just trying to help somebody. The other thing I saw in verse 1 is that we've got to be careful who we work with. Be careful who we hang around. I was reading 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. It says, bad company corrupts good character. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know, you know, if you all have ever hung out with some folks that was doing some bad stuff and got caught. I wish Elder Farmer and some more folks was on this call to help us really make this story plain today. Because it's not always you doing the bad thing. You just was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And you got caught up and they didn't. That's what I see. I see that in verse 2. Verse 2 tells us to be careful of the company that we keep. There are people standing around, waiting around, hanging around, wanting to forcefully pull us away from doing what is right. They see the blessings of the Lord on your life. They see you growing in your faith, and they don't like it. The Bible calls them enemies. The world calls them haters. Be careful who you hang around today, saints of God. Verse 3, what did I see in verse 3? Well, I see something here that's so unpracticed in society today. The poor not being treated the same as the rich. The word favoritism comes up. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen. If you have been watching the Thursday night special Women's Movement, the story of Emmett Till, you see how two men killed another man. He was a child. They killed two human beings, killed another human being. Since this Martin Luther King Day, he was all concerned about the bond of humanity. So we have two human beings kill another human being, and they go to court, and they're found innocent, not guilty. Why? Because Emmett Till was a poor black man. And these two white men and back in the day had some wealth. They owned a grocery store and they had a big family name. And so if you watched it, you saw them during the trial, hang out at lunchtime with the sheriff. They wasn't in jail, incarcerated, as if it had been two black men that had killed a white man. He'd have got hung that night. Here it is in the 21st century, we still have judges who treat the poor better, the rich better than they do the poor. Even our government treats the rich better than they do the poor. What are you saying to us, Pastor Black, here at this verse? I'm saying that the poor ought to be treated just like the rich. And the rich ought to be treated just like the poor. There should be no favoritism in the judicial system, in the government, in the politics, in our society. Everybody was created in God's image. Black, white, red, brown, yellow. And if Mother Bradley was here, she would tell you the blue ones.
Yeah.
We were all fearfully and wonderfully made by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. There's one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He created us all, and he created us all to be treated the same. What did I see in verses 4 and 5? Well, it talks about helping your enemies, ox and ass. And it talks about if you see somebody that hates you and their ox and their ass is needing help with the load, you are supposed to help them. I hear some of y'all saying, well, my neighbor don't have no ox and my neighbor don't have no ass, so what am I supposed to do now? Well, let me help you out. The lesson says that if someone has a flat tire, mm-hmm, and you see them struggling, you're supposed to help them with that flat tire. I'm gonna go a little further. If you've been blessed and you got a increase on your check, just a few dollars, and you see a mother in line at the grocery store and she got a bunch of little children with her, you don't know if she got a job or not. You don't know if she got food stamps or not. That ain't your business. But you got a little extra something, and you tell the cashier, here's a $50, here $100 on her bill. Give it to her. Just fold it up and put it in her or his hand. You ain't got to know their business. You ain't got to know their situation. That's what the Bible is telling us here in verse 4 and 5, that we are to be helpers one to another.
All right.
Yeah. The Bible, Proverbs 25 and 22, I love this verse right here. It says, doing good things for him or her that despise you or hate you, when you do good to them, you're putting a heap of coals on their head, causing them to be ashamed. Look at how God has given us what we need to be people of righteousness, people of goodness, people of virtue, people of honor, people of integrity. So don't say you don't know how to do it. You just choose not to. Because the word gives us clear instructions. Proverbs 25, 22. Go back and read it. You got folk that talk about you like a dog, stab you in the back, roll their eyes at you, speak to you when you come, but when you turn around, they talk about you. The Bible says you're supposed to do good unto them. And when you do good unto them, you make other people look at them and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Jesus illustrated this principle really good for us when he talked to us about the parable of the Good Samaritan. This was an act of compassion and an act of kindness. We ought to show that to people who hate us, people who dislike us. Pastor Black, what did you see in verse 6 and 7? I hope I'm helping somebody. I hope you're getting something on today. Amen. I hope this is blessing somebody on today. Verses 6 and 7. God's people. God's people. Last Sunday night, I preached, are we really his sheep? His sheep know his voice, and another they will not follow. God's people, just because you go to church don't make you God's people. Just because you serve on the usher board don't make you God's people. Come on now. Making you God's people, you have committed yourself to his way and to his kingdom, that you may establish in the lives of others the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us God's people, people who are hearers and doers of his word. So let me talk to y'all for just a moment, because I worship with a bunch of God's people. I serve with a bunch of God's people. I love God's people. Let me peep you to this. We have been called to a higher standard of living. Even the poorest of the poor must be treated fairly and justly. We, my brothers and sisters, are obligated to do mercy, to walk humbly before our God. We are obligated. That's what the Lord requires of us, Micah 6 and 8. That's right. What does the Lord require of thee? That you do justly, walk humbly, and walk, I'm getting it tongue-tied now. Do justly, walk humbly before our God. I ain't got no help today. But Micah 6 and 8, that's what the Lord requires of us. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. Thank you, Mother. Thank you. Thank you. That's what the Lord requires of us, my brothers and sisters. And we've been called to a higher standard of living. So what, your neighbor is not doing it? So what, your boss is not doing it? So what, your husband or your wife is not doing it? Because you have committed your ways unto the Lord, it is your responsibility to do what Micah 6 and 8 says. So as we look at verse 8 and 9, these verses really are for folks in the courthouse. But I just want us to understand that we cannot take a bribe. We cannot turn a deaf ear to injustice. We cannot have blinded eyes to justice. If somebody is doing wrong, and I mean wrong, according to the standards of the law of God, then those of us that are spiritual, I had to go to Paul, must restore them to the right place with the spirit of love. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible said, let your speech be seasoned with salt. I told you earlier that as Christians, as children of God, we must speak the truth in love. We cannot be afraid of the young people that are out here just living ratchetly, living violently. I was watching something the other day, and we had a conversation about this at work. A young couple have been living together, and they said, we're celibate. And they said, most Christians would frown on us living together. But Pastor Black, what do you think? Well, they didn't call me Pastor Black. They said, Miss Kim, what do you think? And I said, well, what's the purpose of living together without being married? And they said, well, we're not ready to make that commitment. I said, but you live together. She said, well, we're celibate.
She said, we don't share a bed, but we do help each other with the finances. We do help each other in our career goals and our choices that we make. So you living as husband and wife, but why can't you make that commitment? Nothing wrong with having that conversation, but being speaking in love, speaking the truth. God honors marriage and the bed is undefiled. I commended them for being celibate, but why not make the commitment to be husband and wife? Well, you said, well, everybody ain't supposed to be married. Some people ain't supposed to be married. But if you're living together, you're practicing it, why not make that commitment? That's like us. We talking about being Christians, but we ain't committed to it. We go to church every Sunday. We on this line every Sunday. We on the Bible study line every Sunday. But are we committed to the principle of being Christians, being God-fearing, doing what the word says? Time for us to step it up a notch.
Yeah.
I'm saying all this in love. It's time for us to honor the word of God. Not to please Pastor Black, not to make the numbers go up on the church roster or the numbers to go up on Blog Talk, but that you may be a inheritor of the kingdom of God, that you may experience life eternally, that you may experience the abundant blessings of the Lord while you're here on the earth. That's why we do what we do. Let's look. We're to be kind to each other. We're to be kind to strangers. Mm-hmm. That's important to God. That's important to him. Read through Exodus 22:21, Leviticus 19 and 34, Deuteronomy 10 and 19. Read through Exodus 22, Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 10. So that you will hear and see that it is important for us to love our strangers. We are not to oppress and take advantage of those that are poor, the unfortunate ones, those who have fallen into a place of poverty. Verses 12 is where I'm going to bring my conclusion because I've got only 9 more minutes. What did I see here? I want you to write these three words down. Rest, refresh, and reset. Rest, refresh, and reset. Now, I know that our lesson talked about the harvest and the land, and we are to obey all of that. But what I want to draw your attention to is your physical body, your mental capacity, your spiritual body. I'm talking to the holistic man right now. We are supposed to rest, refresh, and reset. On TV, every now and then there's a commercial that comes up and it tells you to do nothing for 1 minute.
That's right.
On my iPhone, there are several different apps that I have on my phone that periodically pop up and says, it's time to take 1 minute and reflect. Time to take 1 minute and rest. Time to take 1 minute and refresh. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, how important it is for us to rest,
refresh, and reset. When you go to look for self-help books, it is called self-care. And we're really not good at doing self-care because we always think that we've got to be busy doing something. Because mom and him said that if you wasn't doing something, you was being lazy. But I want you to hear me today. It is nothing wrong with resting. Every now and then, you need to shut it all down. No TV, no music, no cell phone, no Facebook, no Instagram. You need to be still and be quiet in the presence of the Lord that he may refresh you. Get you a cup of tea. Get you a nice tall glass of water and sit still. Light a candle. Get some aromatherapy oil going and breathe in. Go outside and sit on a park bench, on the stoop, on your porch, just to breathe the fresh air to refresh your mind. And then reset. Get ready. Get ready to go out into the highways and byways to compel men and women and boys and girls to come to Christ, for we are living in the last days. Reset and go out and let somebody know that God loves them. Reset and go and be helpers one to another. Reset and go out and be a witness. Be salt and light in the earth. Reset. So my brothers and sisters today, as we look at the law of justice and mercy, remember that we are our brother's keeper. And we, being the children of God, are responsible to show love and to be real and to be helpers one to another. According to God's word, every individual is responsible for their own actions and decisions. This lesson today wants us to govern ourselves accordingly to the word of God. This lesson today wants each of us to give an account of every decision, whether it is just or unjust. This lesson today wants us to help those who are being treated unjustly. This lesson today calls us to wake up and pay attention to what's going on in the world today. Don't be blind to what's happening. We've had so many brown brothers and sisters treated unjustly in the justice system. And so many mothers are still fighting that their children's killers will be brought to justice.
Yes.
So many mothers are still fighting that laws be changed. We might not conjoin their fight, but we can pray for them. Mm-hmm. And we can do our due diligence and go to the polls and vote. We don't have to go to the polls here in Oregon. I got folks on the line here that are not from Oregon, that don't live in Oregon right now. And we're blessed. Our ballots are mailed to us. And we can vote in the privacy of our own homes. Let's do what we're supposed to do, saints, for the justice and the mercy of others. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the work of social justice. We thank you for those who cry out for the injustice in every aspect of society. Thank you for helping us to study the scriptures today that pertain to social justice. And thank you, Father God, that we received a clear picture
of what it means for the people of God to embody justice in society. Now, God, I pray that you would help us to avoid injustice and help us to practice and exercise justice. We give you all praise, all glory, and honor, for it belongs to you. And it is in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, tonight at 8 o'clock, we'll be back. I want you to join us. Pastor Pamela Law will be bringing us a mighty word tonight at 8 o'clock. Tell somebody to come to the Light of Portland and worship the Lord with us. And let us receive our benediction. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us, hence now and forevermore. What I say unto one, what I say unto all, watch, pray, and do justly and have mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister, and make a great day.
Take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings he's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where he brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed, I looked around, here's what I said: thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. You see, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh, death, you told it to get back and behave.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, he won't let me down. He always do just what he said. Pain and suffering, he brought me through. All wide open, he always welcomed you. I've been blessed in so many ways. I just want to lift my hand and give God all the praise. Ooh-wee, another blessing. Ooh-wee, another blessing.
My legs and I can walk. I got my tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive, I got my lungs and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings he's given to me. Bless my family and they're doing fine.
Thank you.
You've been good to me.
Another blessing.
I gotta say.